So what do you really want for Christmas? What do you really want for Christmas? Maybe as I ask that question, some of our children might be thinking about some toy or some game or maybe a bicycle or something really cool like a pony or something like that. You're saying, that's what I want for Christmas. Maybe some of our adults are sitting here and you're thinking, maybe my kid's behaving better. Maybe I want that for Christmas or some other thing that you can think of that you want for Christmas. Some might say, hey, peace on earth would be a fantastic thing to get for Christmas. Well, there was a child who wrote a letter to his aunt, expressing his thanks for the gift he got for Christmas. And he says this, Dear Aunt Sarah, thank you for the Christmas present that you sent me. The present that you sent me for Christmas was almost as good as the one that I really wanted. See, when God gave us His Christmas present on that first Christmas morning, when He gave us His Christmas present in the form of His Son, Jesus Christ, without question, He gave us the greatest gift we could ever imagine or the greatest gift we could ever want. Christmas is all about the message of our Savior. It's all about that. So as we look this morning, I'd like us to look at and remember the words of the angels. The angels gave a message to some frightened participants on that first Christmas. Some participants who weren't really sure about all the stuff that was going on around them. And this message was a message of salvation. It was a message of God's declaration, His deliverance, His salvation. And these angels gave it to us. The angel Gabriel in Luke, the angel of the Lord in Matthew and Luke, and we see this. And so let's look at the message that we have this morning of the angels to these individuals, to Mary. In Luke chapter 1, the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. But Mary said to the angel, How will this be, since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For that reason also the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. And to Joseph in Matthew 1, 20 and 23, the angel speaks to Joseph, and he appears to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. Now all this took place so that the one was spoken by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled. Behold, a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And then to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. So who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? And so let's take a few minutes and review the message that we heard so well through the choir today. Who is this Jesus? He is Savior. In Luke 1:31, you'll be a child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. And in Matthew, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So the meaning of this name, Jesus, it means one who is a deliverer or a savior. And this name was not chosen by Mary and Joseph. When Mary and Joseph had this baby, they didn't go get a baby book and start looking through all of these names as something they could choose out and then say, hey, I like that name. Now let's spell it in the most weird way possible so nobody has any idea how to spell it. That's not what they did. God gave them the name. You shall call his name Jesus. This communicates the idea of God's deliverance, of us being saved from a terrible disaster or a death. See, the name Jesus means that we were saved from a terrible disaster. We were saved from eternal death. He's making a clear statement here with the name Jesus. He's making a divine declaration of his salvation, that he entered the world, that Jesus entered the world, and he was the embodiment of God's deliverance for mankind. The message of Christmas is found in God bringing the Savior to the world. But it's not just about God sending a Savior. We can also see in this passage that who is this Jesus? It is God with us. Matthew 1:23, the virgin will be with child and shall give birth to a son. And they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. See, as part of this message that he gave to Joseph, he says that this baby, this child that you have, this one in Mary's womb is to be called Emmanuel. Emmanuel. That God is going to be with us. A deeper understanding of this understands the purpose of our Savior. It means that God literally came and dwelt among us. Fully God. Fully God came and dwelt among us and became a person. Fully God, fully man. Something that we really have a difficult time understanding, but it's the truth. You see, God didn't just send a Savior. God himself came and resided on this earth for us. See, throughout the Old Testament, we see God's presence in many different ways. We see him appearing in a burning bush. We see God appearing in a prophetic vision or in a pillar of cloud or a fire from heaven or something like this in a lot of different ways. And this is completely different than that. This is God himself coming and dwelling and being a part of us. He would experience all the things that we experience as humans. He saw things through human eyes. He heard things through human ears. Jesus tasted food and he was thirsty and had things to drink. This is very, very, very significant. See, he experienced life on our level. He knows the reality of human suffering and pain. He knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what it's like to lose a loved one. He has gone through and experienced all the things that we have. He knew what it was like to be betrayed. And he knew what it was like to suffer, and he suffered on a cross for us. All of these are reality of God with us. The message of Christmas is not just found in a God who says, I need to send you a Savior. It was in the message is in a God who says, I am coming to provide the Savior. God himself coming to us. And we also see Jesus as a suffering servant. In Luke, as the angel appears to the shepherds, he said, do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy. There will be for all the people today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, who is Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord, the Greek word Christ here is the form of a Hebrew word Messiah. The promised Messiah, the Jews were looking for their Messiah. They couldn't wait for their Messiah, the one who was going to come sit on the throne of David. They were looking for this conquering king. They were looking for one who was going to overthrow all their enemies. They could not wait for this Messiah. And this was the struggle the disciples had with Jesus as they were following him, because they were waiting for Jesus to come establish this kingdom and him to come and to overthrow and to rule on the throne of David. And there will come a day. There will come a day when Jesus will return and he will be a conquering king. And there will be a day when he will overthrow his enemies and he will sit on the throne of David. That day will come. But the baby in the manger did not come for that purpose. The baby in the manger came to be a suffering servant. A suffering servant to suffer on a cross and pay the debt for our sins. Jesus, who is this Jesus? He is our suffering servant. And so as we look at this message of Christmas, there has to be a response from us. As these individuals who heard this message from the angels, they had to respond, right? The individuals here, Mary and Joseph and the shepherds here, they didn't hear this message and say, that's interesting. And then go about their business, right? The shepherds didn't respond and say, hey, you know, that was pretty cool. We've never had angels appear to us before. That's neat. Now, let's get back to these sheep, right? They had to respond in some way. They had to respond. Mary responded in obedience. May it be done according to your word. Joseph responded in obedience. He did as the Lord commanded him. See, as we celebrate Christmas, as we hear and understand this message of a Savior, There has to be a response of obedience on our behalf. We can't just look and say, man, Christmas is a great message. I'm so glad that God sent Jesus, and so we have a reason to give each other gifts and put up a tree and have some family over. It demands some obedience from us. The shepherds responded by seeking Jesus. It says, when the angels had departed from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the mangers. See, they responded. They responded by going, and they responded by sharing. In Luke 2:17, it says, when they had seen him, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. See, when the shepherds saw Jesus, they wanted all to know. They had met the Savior. They had experienced the hope. They responded with worship, and so the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told to them. See, this Christmas season, Christmas better time than maybe any other, an easier time maybe than any other, to tell the people about the hope that we have in a Savior. And the shepherds went and shared. And then you have Mary. At the end of Luke 2:19, there's this little statement about Mary that has always kind of stuck with me. And it says that Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And I just think about Mary and all the things that happened from the time the angel came and said, you're going to have this child. And then she had Joseph, the man she's going to marry, come to her and say, I'm sorry, I can't do this. And he goes to put her away, and then has a response where Joseph responds to the angel and he comes back, and then they make this travel and they go to Bethlehem and it's crowded and they're in this stable and she gives birth, and then these strange shepherds who were dirty from being out in the field come around your newborn baby, and she sees him come in worship and all these things, and it says that she pondered them in her heart. And this Christmas season, I'm going to ask you to take some time to ponder these things in your heart. To think about what this message of a Savior really means. You know, over the last couple years, I've really been just taken back by how much God truly loves us. And how much God really loves me. You see, because I'm a sinner. And my sin is offensive to God. You know, we live in a time, these last couple years, we've talked a lot about in our culture about being offended, and people are offended, and my sin is offensive to God. And so God's response to my offensive sin is, I can't wait till he gets here so I can smite him for his offensive sin. God's response to my offensive sin is, I have sent a Savior, and I have extended mercy and grace to you so that you can have a relationship with me. And sometimes I just marvel at the goodness of God and the love of God and the sacrifice that he paid for us. And then I think about how that has changed how I should respond and how I respond to other people. If God loves me that way, then shall I not love other people that way? And if God loves us that way and we have this hope and we interact with people in our world, should we not be as the shepherds and go share that hope? The world knows that they've offended God. The world knows that they live in sin. Let's share with them the hope of a Savior. And as we interact together, let's extend that grace and mercy and love that has been extended to us as we celebrate this Christmas this year. So who is this Jesus? He is our Savior. He is God with us. He is a suffering servant, and most important, as we heard the choir sing, he is Lord of all. He is God eternally, Lord of all. And this is the message that we need to respond to this Christmas morning. So as we come to a time of invitation, a time of introspection, a time to ponder, let me invite you to consider what God would have for you this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you need to understand what this means to have a Savior. That you've never experienced the true salvation that comes in a relationship with him. Maybe this morning you need to do that. Maybe this morning as you are here, you need to take some time to really consider what God has done for you. It's something I think sometimes in church we do so many different things and we overlook. And don't take time to really stop and just think about what God did and to thank Him for it. And then, if you're here this morning and you are a believer, then there has to be a response of obedience. Mary and Joseph obeyed and did what they were told. The shepherds didn't have to be told. They heard the great news and said, there's something for us. We have to go and do. What does God have for you this morning? Respond to Him. Whatever God is leading you to do, listen to His voice.